welcome to another episode of the Random Hour. As always, I'm your co-host, Devin Moore. And of course, I got the man of the show, Kyle Crump himself. And today we have a special guest with us today here, comic book writer, A. Geiger, and his series, God's Lost Mercy, here today. And we're going to sit here and talk about his book and things of that nature. Geiger, the floor is yours. Introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you. Hello, everyone. How y'all doing? This is A. Geiger. I am, as the man, the myth, the legend said, I am the creator and of God's Lost Mercy, the epic supernatural action series. Okay. That's about put it.
Yep, that's right. And so the first question, so we're going to dive on in. The first question I'm going to ask you is, for the listeners at home, can you explain your story without any spoilers or anything? Just like a quick little summary?
Yes. let's see. So the story essentially follows our main character, Mercy Fox, as she is caught in this never-ending cycle that seems like a fighting against the forces of evil and hopes to find her missing angel mother, you know, to be free of this mysterious and powerful weapon called the Black Rose.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay. So her name is Mercy Fox. Okay. For some weird reason, and I'm just going to embarrass myself here. I was looking for her name. Do they mention her name at all in the four chapters, or they just call her by the Lady in Red?
For now, they just call her the Lady in Red. And the reason why is kind of like, it's just like for it's more of an in-universe type of thing that people don't really know who she is until, but within this next chapter coming up, yes, we officially get her name, but for the most part, her name is Mercy Fox.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Next question. What are some things that inspired your art style in your story writing?
My art style is, what originally helped boost it up was my love for the old retro cartoons like Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, and Popeye, Felix the Cat. I loved those old cartoons growing up, and then I got into anime, like with Dragon Ball Z, you know, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama, Sailor Moon, Digimon, Pokemon, and then as I got older, I started to branch off even more to so many different type of art styles, you know, from artists across the world, and different medias and genres, and just kind of threw them. I try to work my own style into what it is. So for a lot of times, like at you know, first glance, it's just, oh, that's anime art. But if you really like look at it, you'll see a lot of styles from, you know, like Chuck Jones, Tex Avery type S, you know. Then you'll see some from, you know, like a actual anime that inspired Korean style and so on and so forth.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I definitely saw the, like, when I first read this, I definitely saw, like, the 90s to early 2000s. The first two things that popped up to my mind was Dragon Ball Z, you know, Yu Yu Hakusho, and things of that style. That's what popped out to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, like, there were times, like, I would get stuck, you know, trying to draw a character. And I would have to go back and look at Yu Yu Hakusho or even Tite Kubo style, like Bleach. And that just, like, gets me out of funk, like that.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. I draw a good bit myself.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, you know, I didn't think of Bleach. I honestly thought I was, like, not. I thought about that late 90s animation style. I didn't even think about Bleach. And I'm actually, you know, actually trying to binge watch Bleach right now. I'm on episode like 169.
Oh, nice. I'm actually gone back and I got back starting Bleach and I'm re-watching One Piece.
you want to talk about our One Piece content we've been making?
So we, as of this recording, we've released several episodes One Piece themed. We went through and we were like, okay, you pick 10 devil fruit for me and I'll pick 10 devil fruit for myself. And then next episode, we'll do the opposite person. We did that. And then we did One Piece theories. And then we made up our own devil fruit and went another episode. I went on a crazy binge where I read all of One Piece in a year. And I was like, Devin, you should get into it. And with the live action, he finally got into it. And because I refused to get into Dragon Ball. And I said, you know what? I'll watch it or read it once you get into One Piece. And with the live action, he finally got into it. And so I started watching Dragon Ball and I finished all of it. And Devin, what episode of One Piece are you on?
I'm on episode 79, but since you loan me the mangas, I'm on manga volume book 16, 17, 18 in the big books.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't got started on the mangas yet. I want to. And the reason why, like when I last watched One Piece, it was like during the Skypiea arc. And then years just went by and I just did my own thing. And then I was like, man, I kind of want to get back into One Piece.
That's how we were. And Kyle's like binge watching. He's like, dude, you got to caught up, catch up. Oh, dude, I haven't watched it since like the Toonami block back in 01. I'm going to just sit down. Let's see. They're like, what, 300 episodes? Oh, my.
Shoot. I started off in high school and I got to Marineford and then I promptly got distracted for like 5-10 years. Shoot. I don't remember. I remember. I got to college and I got distracted and then I picked it back up and now I'm rewatching it and I'm back in the end of Skypiea where it's transitioning over. No, I take that back. I just finished Water 7. And then I don't know where I am in the anime, come to think of it. I know I'm significantly past that in the manga. Because I was like, you know what, I'm going to try to read along. But because of the lack of filler, I got so far ahead that I was just like, you know what, we're just finishing the books. We're just going to keep reading.
Keep on trucking.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing. I was the same way. Like I said, I'm trying to binge watch, but it's so hard. Gagger, let me ask you this. Have you watched, and this is one that we're both very big on, have you watched Chainsaw Man yet?
Yes, I'm actually caught up with the manga.
Oh, I'm not. Three volumes behind.
Oh man, it's so. I love Chainsaw Man. I love Fujimoto's writing. Like the dude is a mad genius, really. Like he's, but yeah, he comes off as like this complete utter freaking weirdo. Trying not to swear, but But when you really sit down and read his stuff, especially his one-shots, the man, he's playing 4D chess while we're all sitting here playing checkers. Like, I was just about to spoil something about Chainsaw Man for anime onlys, but yeah, it's like, it's never like at first glance with his writing. And that's what I love about his writing, Oda's writing, going back to One Piece, and it's just like there's so much layer and like depth to a lot of these manga's writers, and that's what really, like, I guess, like, one of, like, just made me inspired to really, you know, really dig into this world that I've been creating, and one of the biggest ones was actually Murai's Berserk. You know, I've been, you know, reading, you know, a lot of the manga lately. I've been trying to collect them, and oh man, like, I know a lot of people want to brush that off. It's just like this, you know, well, certain words that I don't know your viewers would like to hear, But it is, you know, the dark fantasy-esque stuff, you know. But it's like the whole resilience of the human spirit of within all these stories that we've been talking about thus far, Bleach, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, you know, it's just get up and keep going. That's what I love about these stories.
I'm actually reading through the big black books. I've been collecting those lately. And I'm on book 8. I think I'm 1/4 the way through on book 8. And I've like, there was one day I read through about 4 of the big black books just in a single day. But I love it. It's very bloody, brutal, and gritty. But it does show a good example of like human endurance and how far you can put yourself. And I think that's probably why a lot of gym goers, apparently that's one of their favorite animes, and I didn't know that. But I definitely see it now that I'm diving into it.
Yeah, really. It's like the best description I have heard to describe Guts' character in Berserk is that his best quality is that he's human. The worst qualities is that he's human.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, okay, that's the quote. That's the best way you can really describe a character, really.
Oh yeah.
Okay. It's all right. Here on this show, we're powered by ADHD and dyslexia, so we usually go on a tangent.
Oh, yep. Same. That's the same thing with me. I always usually tell people whenever they get in a conversation with me, either in podcasts or in real life, it's like, give me a minute. You don't need any drugs or alcohol to feel like you're on an acid trip when you're talking to me. One minute we'll be talking about like politics. The next thing you know, we'll be talking about like, hey, have you ever thought of what would happen if space hamsters were to rule the galaxy? Something like that.
And we talk about hamsters a lot lately.
Oh, no. Dang.
We just had a DJ on here that was named DJ Hamster Dance. And then we got distracted because he goes, y'all got Zaxby's over there? I'm like, yeah. And I started vibing because I was like, I like food too. And so we went on, I don't know how long of a rant.
It was 30 minutes. A 30-minute rant about food. The objective was to talk about his DJ career. And he's like, hey, I'm from Arizona. You guys got Zaxby's on the East Coast? And Kyle's like, we sure do. And we went on a 30-minute rant talking about Sherbert, Jack's in the Box, Dairy Queen. Oh, it's fun. It's coming out April 28th. So,
yeah.
Great fun. Great guy.
Good tasting food, too.
Yeah, great food. Oh, man. So this is the show for you, Geiger. We run off of rants, anime, and random stuff.
Hey, I love that.
That's like man.
My cup of tea.
All right, Devin, you want to try to get us back on track?
Yeah, I'm getting us back on track. Sorry, I just had to ask. It was a good conversation. So our next question, so this might be a spoiler for the story, but I'm going to ask anyways. If not, just tell me if it is. While I was reading the book, I noticed she had the paw tattoo on her belly and the one on her hand. What's the meaning behind the tattoo on her hand and on her belly? Can you give us any detail about that?
Okay, so, well, the hand tattoo is more of a scar, really, and that is basically, you know, signifies that she's the possessor of the Black Rose, and as for the tattoo on the belly, well, it's somewhat, but it's more of a backstory deal. And by the time we get to that part, I think a lot of people forget anyways. But the tattoo is more so, it came from a ritual that Mercy's adopted father, you know, took her to when she was 16. Y'all read the part where it said in the webcomic version that the church, the God's House of Wolves, are full of monsters, right?
Yep.
Well, the three founders is a werewolf, a vampire, and a witch. And the leader of it, it was a former werewolf member of a tribe that called like the Moonbloods, where in their culture is that they believe that the reason why they're all werewolves because they are being punished for their past sins by their goddess. And when children become of age, they have to take these trials to prove their worth, to, you know, they're worthy or strong enough to serve their goddess. And they go into the mountains for the entirety of the winter season and hunt down, you know, demons or monsters and bring their corpses back. Mercy, you know, that after a death of a character, they won't really be mentioned much, but because they're already dead at this point. Mercy, like, you can probably tell that she doesn't, like, take too kindly to innocent people getting hurt, you know? I mean, she's the hero, so of course she can't really vibe with that. I mean, she can if there's a different type of story, but anyways, so she wants to prove her worth. She wants to be stronger. And so Rorik, that's the name of her adopted father, you know, basically takes her to his tribe that he was exiled from. And because like 200 some years ago, he went on a rampage because some humans killed his wife and son. And, you know, I'm not getting too much how he got his werewolf powers back, because he was turned into a wolf permanently for a while, but then he came back. And anyways, I'm sorry, you get that here and there as you please. But he takes her to back to his tribe, and he basically, you know, begged his former friend, who's now the chief leader of the tribe, to let her do the trials. But the thing is, she was still in school at the time. And even though she doesn't want to, we all been at that age, we didn't want to be in school. So she'd rather spend the entire winter, you know, in the mountains than spend one day in school. So she had to complete this 6-month trial within 1 month. And her target was a Wendigo. And that's actually one of the few monsters she's really afraid of. I won't say why or how, but she managed to track down and fight off and kill this Wendigo. And that's why she has the red jacket. That's what it's made out of, the pelt of a Wendigo.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when she came back and proved herself, the paw tattoo can be put anywhere, or you get any type of tattoo really, as long as it's related to the tribe. And she said she wanted it on her belly, against her adopted mother's wishes, because it's, you know, kind of weird. Like, why would a girl want a tattoo on her belly like that? But Mercy's been friends with a lot of certain type of characters or certain type of people in her life. And so the belly was kind of like her symbol of for femininity, that she wants to show that she is a, you know, that because being a half angel like she is, you know, which again, I haven't shown that yet. That's kind of a little more of a, like a surprise for the characters and the, you know, readers a little bit. But it's not really a spoiler, because that's what the whole shtick is about. Is that I guess you ultimately say it's like a dramatic purposes. But she isn't really seen as a woman because of what she is. She, and you know, even by her peers, she's barely even acknowledged to be human. And so having that tattoo there is more so kind of like, you know, showing her pride as a woman. You know, that's why she dresses the way she does. She acts the way she does sometimes. And, you know, which is fun because she's not really a feminist character. But she wants to show her pride that she is a woman.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Because of Wendigos are known in urban legends to be fast, is that how she's able to get her speed? Because in panel number 2, this is, I was just curious when I was rereading it, she got on top of the giant monster so fast. Does that jacket give her like super speed or anything like that?
No, really. It's like her speed and power is all mostly natural base. Now, yes, she can basically, quote unquote, evolve her abilities through trials and tribulations. And there's a moment in her when she was a child that something really bad happened to her. And so it made her kind of already adapt her healing ability, her strength, and her speed. And, you know, you think, oh, she's just broken. I mean, she kind of is, but she isn't. But the jacket, like, the reason, like, one of the reasons why she doesn't wear the uniforms or the robes like the other priests do, but she is a priestess, is that the, it's kind of like the same with how, why Guts wears the black robe when at night and stuff, so he can hide. It's kind of similar for that in this universe, the demons don't see our physical bodies, they see our souls, and that the robes and their color schemes is supposed to help the help those, like, well, for the white, it kind of makes them blur, because how they're woven and made blurs their souls and essence when they're out in the daylight. And for those who are working the shadows, like the ones in black, the dying wolves, they wear the black to kind of like conceal their souls a bit. For Mercy, however, it doesn't work for her, because she exuberates a different type of, like, the prana radiation, as the mechanic is describing here, that they already know, like, she's like a walking beacon, and plus having the black rose on her, it really makes no difference. So the red jacket is usefulness. It's that one that, I mean, all the clothes do this anyways too, or all the official, you know, clothes that are made by the elves and dwarves that work in the church. I know, it's wild. That it regenerates itself. So that way, you know, it doesn't, you know, we don't have to constantly, like she has to constantly go to a tailor or use up resources, you know, for a tattered up jacket. But the jacket is also more so a sentimental thing. And her symbol of, you know, because Mercy's a very sentimental person too. Like, almost, like, there are three items on her that means the world to her. You know, she will never go a day without these. You know, one of them's her jacket, the other's her ribbon, and the other is her rosary she wears. And the jacket, you know, the red jacket is basically, it's kind of like a, and her thing of, like, you know, like the, like, why do the, does the captain wear the red jacket so he ties the blood? But for her, it's kind of like she wears the red jacket to show that she's carrying the blood of all those that she had lost as she ventures into her own hell. So there's like that Dante's Inferno and Jesus element to her.
Wow. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's what I wanted to ask, because I was like, there's, and I could kind of tell, I could personally kind of tell just reading through that she does, you know, you've thrown hints of some trauma, and I was like, ooh, this is interesting, and things like that. So I appreciate you answering my question. And of course, now to get away from, not only do you do action and drama, but like you said, you also do bits of comedy. So my next question is, do you have a favorite panel that you drew and a joke that you made in these comics in between?
Yes, actually. That, as you know, if you read this comic on Webtoons, you notice that it says remake, and there is an original run of this series. And one of my favorite jokes is really the conversations between one of the male characters, the male lead, that he's about to show up, but it's between him and another female character that you know picks on him and stuff, and it's the interactions of like it's a stupid adult joke, But she messes with him in not like an overtly sexual or provocative ways, you know, like you would see like in most animes and stuff. It's just more so just like saying like, oh, hey, you seem tired. You want a cuddle buddy? And the main character's like, no, go away. I'm gonna call the cops.
Yep.
But there's also like a bunch of running jokes too, with each of the characters have their own set of running jokes, and even Mercy's got her handful of ones. And a lot of it is like that when they arrive on a site for missions and they're explaining the details about the situation, Mercy will go off and some random spot within the area, come back, or she'll just pull like a bunch of snacks and drinks and stuff from her jacket and would just be, and they'll turn to her and she's like sipping on like milkshake and whatever. It's like, where the hell did you get a milkshake from, man? Did you hear any of that conversation? It's like, yeah.
And that sounds like that's relatable to us. That sounds like a conversation me and Kyle have had over the years. Like, yep. He's just like, hey, Devin, did you pay attention? Where'd you get a burger at 2 a.m? Pull it out.
Listen, this man did not have his driver's license in college. He would disappear for a couple hours and then just come back. I don't know where he would go. And he'd be like, yeah, I was just hanging out with some people. I'm like, who? Who though?
Yeah. That's like how I wound up making that joke anyways, because I'll be in a conversation with my friends and then I'll turn around, you know, and pull out like a burger or a fry from my jacket pocket, and they'll be like, where the hell did you get that from? But one of my readers, like, their favorite thing is that, like, whenever Mercy gets in trouble, her immediate reaction, and I actually started doing this, you know, originally by accident too, but it's like she goes, whatever I did, I didn't do it.
Whatever I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I swear. Oh, man.
Devin, you can't pull that off. Most of the time when you say, I didn't do it, there's evidence.
Oh, God, I know.
That's why you have to say, whatever I didn't do it. Like, I'm guilty, but I'm also innocent. I plead the fifth. It's like a weird way of saying, I plead the fifth.
Man. One of the things I think, and, you know, it makes me chuckle every time I read it. It's an issue 2, where at the end of issue 1, where Mercy, she kills the demon, and the little girl goes, why'd you have to kill those bad people? And she goes, F-bomb. And then she's like, oh, and this is what I like. You go from being serious to you go to the Tom and Jerry kind of, I want to say, what's it called in anime? And I'm going to embarrass myself here. I think it's like chibi art. Chibi.
Chibi.
Dude, those make me laugh. And that panel when she's like, duck. And she goes in the chibi form and she's like, duck. Duck with a chainsaw. Vroom, vroom, vroom. And she just starts making chainsaw sounds. And I'm like, bro, you're in a church surrounded by demons. Why are you telling a girl there's a duck with a chainsaw? That, it made me laugh. That, it just tickles my face. Or not tickle my face. It tickles my funny bone when she's literally just like killing all the demons. And then she's like, oh. Hey, listen, we're in a dangerous situation here. There's a killer duck with a chainsaw. Vroom, vroom, get out of here. Go on, get.
Yeah, that's what I love about writing Mercy. It's just like you can have both extremes. Well, not just with her, but any of these other characters. Like with the elf girl, Lila. That's another one of my favorite sequences. But like, Mercy, and like she values the innocence of especially the innocence of children, but and the last thing she wants to do is to make people, anyone, worry, as you could probably tell, and so if she sees like either a grown man like us, or she sees a little girl, she's going to immediately switch gears. know, from work mode to like goofy, happy, go lucky mode, and try to like not make the situation as bad as it looks, but fails ultimately.
All right. Yeah, I just love the blend of it.
Mm-hmm. Are the demon in your story inspired shows like Tokyo Ghoul, Berserk, Attack on Titan, or Danny Phantom?
No, actually, none of the above. Okay. The demons are inspired by, well, not just biblical demons, but even demons from across the world. Like, a lot of these demons are based on real life, you know, entities and concepts of evil. And I take it even a step further to making them basically like Eldritch Horrors level, like Lovecraft levels of demons.
What is the process for young writers that want to get on Webtoons? How does that process go?
For Webtoons, it's actually really easy. It's a lot easier. like, it's just, like, for what Webtoons usually ask for is that, of course, you have to keep it, like, you know, more family-ish friendly, you know. I am kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit, you know, with the violence and stuff. But in the original run, I definitely had that adult rating on there, you know, just for safety and precautions. But for here, you really just, you know, once you get your comic set up, you could do it like how I do it, which is like a traditionalized, you know, page by page. Or you could do it like the usual, you know, Korean manhwa format and just have that one long page just going. I've even seen some where it's just like comic strips, just each different chapter, quote unquote chapter or episode. And it's just be like that single, like four panel, three panel. Like there was one that I really loved. It was something about like this dude who was dead. But he was a zombie basically. And he was trying to figure out, like, you know, like, why is his soul still in this world? And he goes to a demon. They don't know why, so they try to help him out. Anyways, it was a fun little comic strip series. But it's really not that hard. The only thing you will have to worry about is trying to get it out there. That's the biggest issue, you know, getting back on focus track, my rambling train mind, is that that you have to basically, like, crap post, trying to be family friendly, on every, you know, website as you can. And if you're, like, worried that you're going to bother somebody, because I sure as heck do. I am so scared to death to tell people about my comic. And I'm like, man, what if these people actually do read my comic and they hate it, you know? Or is that, what if I'm just, like, just, you know, bothering somebody else? Or I'm just, or I look like I'm trying to be, like, a pick me, woo-woo type person, you know? and... Because you can get to a point where it's like it starts getting annoying. But when you're promoting your stuff, trying to get your stuff out there, it's a lot of trials and errors. And one good trick I did learn is that people are more inclined to read your story if you, you know, make it more I don't want to say like in a bad way, but it's like more related or about them. Like more personal, I should say. Like, if they're also another creator, talk about their story, then bring yours up. Or if they're just a regular old Joe, it's like, listen to what they like about stories and stuff. And it's like, well, I got a story here that you might be interested in. You know? And I always tell, like, as like my little safety net thing, or see something, I don't know, that... give it a read, and if you don't like it, that's fine. Not going to hurt my feelings. But if you know somebody that happens to like this stuff, then feel free to throw this their way. Slap them in the face with it if you need to. And so it's really a it's a trial by error type of situation.
Yeah, no, dude, we feel that. That's how we've done sometimes. And it's funny. Sometimes like, oh, will this stick? And it's just like, YOLO, it's going to stick. And it does. So that's pretty good for young artists to know, like, hey, just go do it. If it fails, that's okay. Because, you know, it's funny. I tell my kids all the time, and you probably can agree with this, you learn more from your failures than you do from your success.
Exactly. And yes, there'll be times where you'll get burnt out. And you'll feel like you lose interest or lose motivation in what you're doing. And I mean, there's multiple times where I have just been like, man, I don't want to work on God's Lost Mercy anymore. I want to just throw this out. Screw this story. You know, ain't nobody going to read it. Ain't nobody going to like it. You know, that type of conversation. And that will eventually happen. You know, you'll get so sick and tired of it, but then you got to remind yourself constantly. And this is what I've been kind of learned firsthand and secondhand through another comic creator, you know, a couple others, is that, you know, that you have to sometimes remind yourself why you're doing this in the first place, you know? And I think this is really more important now than ever, because with the rise of AI and stuff, it sounds like some sort of like horror movie or something, but you know, with how AI has been kind of like the main focus point or main conversational point for a lot of creators lately, it's honestly terrifying. But I'm not like entirely of like against AI, but at the same time though, I see firsthand, like, yeah, this is kind of worrisome to a lot of creators, you know. And so remind yourself, you know, why you're doing this. I mean, I got that from an artist that I usually follow. And he said that, you know, I think, you know, just keep the faith, basically. You know, you're doing this for a reason, right? You got these gifts, you got these thoughts, these talents, these, you know, this drive for a reason, you know. It may amount to nothing, maybe, but you never know unless you try. Then watch me like a few months from now, but like, hey guys, I'm retiring. No more God's Lost Mercy. Bye.
Nah, you gotta keep going, man. You gotta at least we feel that, brothers, but yeah. Kyle, welcome back. The show is yours.
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, it's been a weird day. Normally there's not this many calls this early. What are some of your favorite comic book characters and storylines?
Wow. Okay. So my favorite comic book character storylines, well, one of them is obviously Goku. And you know, just because of that he's a character, I feel like despite how popular he is, I feel like he's very much undermined a lot. Like, in that I know the running joke with him is that he's just, all he cares about is just fighting and stuff, which that is true, but there's a lot more to him, really. But he's always been that character that just goes past his limits, and that's what I love about him. And then there's Guts from Berserk, you know, like we've been mentioning earlier. I love Yusuke from Yu Yu Hakusho, one of my favorite characters. Bugs Bunny, one of my all-time favorite characters of all time, Bugs Bunny. Then, you know, it's like, I mean, shoot, that joke in one of the panels where Mercy's sitting on top of the demon's head, and she's like, ooh, for shame. That's literally a Bugs Bunny line, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Like how, like, you know, he'll just, you know, mess with Elmer Fudd one good time, and he just looks over him, like, ooh, for shame.
I didn't pick up on that reference, but that's true.
Okay. Yeah. I even make like references to even like some Abridge series here and there too. Like Crap Baskets from Dragon Ball Abridge, or if you've seen Hellsing Abridge, which Alucard, he's one of my favorite characters too. like I use some of his quotes here and there from both the original series and the abridged series, and especially the whole like going back to the abridged, like taking it for a walk, you know, like what are you doing, Alucard? Like why how did this happen? It's like, well, what happened was I went for a walk, a very enthusiastic walk, you know, yeah, for my bridge fellow, you know, connoisseurs out there. But then I also have like I said, like the series was inspired by Devil May Cry, Dante. I actually love the actual novel, the Divine Comedy. So there are some elements of Divine Comedy that I use in here, but also Devil May Cry. And the whole banter, like, you know, you can tell there's Dante-esque personalities within Mercy with the goofiness and so forth. I do have a Virgil character. But it also is like what really like drove me to do more of the heavier and more of the existential type story beats is Nier Automata. Like Two Beast character, Ravi from Black Lagoon. You know, I mean, I could sit here all day, just list some of my favorite characters, but I wear my influences on my sleeve, you know, or kind of on my sleeve. The sleeve's kind of covered up a little bit, but it is. But if you ever wonder, like, man, I wonder what this guy likes, you read a little bit into it, and you'll see, like, you know, references to some characters that I love, you know.
Yep.
Sorry if that didn't really answer any questions or whatsoever.
Well, I purposely left that open-ended because I know we did an interview with The Great Ghost a while back, and that's kind of where Devin picked up your book. And so we thought we would ask you that because we figured you probably dig into comic books and mangas and other books like that too. So we just let you open the floor to talk about something that you may enjoy reading.
Oh, yes. And yeah, I really enjoy so many things, really. It's like not even just comic books and manga. Like, I mean, shoot, speaking of comic books, really, you could really say that I really do love the Superman story as well. I love Superman. I love Batman, you know, basic, you know. But there's also Spider-Man. Spider-Man is is the favorite superhero of mine, even as since I was a kid. And
I see how you mean it. This house, baby.
Yeah, woo! And I mean, shoot, that whole like what Spider-Man represents stands for, it's not just the driving blood for Mercy's character, but for the entire church. Like, with great power comes great responsibility. Like, the whole motto for the House of Wolves is literally that even though we are to be damned, we will still serve the light because that is the right thing to do, and we have the power to do so. You know, if we have the power, we will do it. You know, because nobody in this life deserves to walk in this life alone, or to feel like they're not loved or they're not safe. And so we're doing everything we can. Yeah, we don't need the, you know, recognition and you know, values or any of that other stuff. I'm losing my English words, basically. but yeah, the whole Spider-Man concept, that is like right there. The Superman too, you know, right there. You know, even later on in the story, Mercy has her own cardboard city conversation. Like, y'all remember that clip from the Superman animated series where he was fighting, what was it, Doomsday or something?
Yes, I believe it's Doomsday.
Yeah, Doomsday.
It's been a minute, though.
Doomsday or Darkseid. I think it was really Darkseid. But Superman talks about how, like, he's basically walking in a cardboard city. And that's kind of
I've been holding back the entire time.
Yeah, it's Dark Side.
Yeah, because it's when the city is being invaded. I think Justice League Unlimited, and they were putting up a fight against Dark Side, and Lex Luthor's there, and Batman's there. And there's the whole where they take two different approaches, and Lex Luthor just runs away from Dark Side's beams, and then you have Batman who strategically averts it into another person. And then Superman attacks, and then he's like, I've got to confess, I've been holding back my entire time. Here's one of the rare chances for me to cut loose. I think it was that.
Man, I love that so much. That and there was a comic page just that was floating around recently, but I remember reading this the first time. And it was a scene where Superman was helping this girl who's, you know, about to jump off a building. Mm-hmm. And instead of just picking her up and throwing her onto the ground or laying her on the ground, he just sits there with her. And the entire day and the entire night, you know, let her just, you know, be there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is what I wanted in a character, really. Like, that is what I've wanted for so long in a character. And I think that's what really made me stick to the story, because I mentioned before I started on GLM and you know, said, you know, God have mercy on me. And that's where Mercy Fox came from. That, you know, it's literally just that last beacon of hope, you know, when all else is lost, you know, and that purest, darkest spot, you see the truest light there. And so all these characters that I've been bringing up, a lot of them have like their best elements to them. Like Superman, you know, sitting there with a girl that's wanting to jump off the building. Or Spider-Man, you know, just that tenacity just to keep going. Goku, the man that just breaks his limits. And, you know, but then there's also Guts. You know, I think that's what really drew me to Berserk so much. Or even The Witcher. Like, I love the Witcher series. I've been reading the books. I'm currently reading the first book. But just how, like, Geralt, like, presents himself in the novels as, like, he knows what he is. He knows he's basically a monster to these people's eyes. But he sees himself as a knight. Like, he's a very knightly person. He's about honor, chivalry. And despite what people, even his own people, say, like, what a Witcher is and should be in this world, he's like, nah, I'm gonna do my own thing, man. That's what, like, what I wanted in this character to be in my story, ultimately, is to be, like, somebody that embodies that she wants a peaceful life. She wants to live a normal life. She wants to settle down, find a husband, have kids, and be done with this. But at the same time, too, she knows she's driven to this call that's bigger than who she is, that's bigger than what she can even imagine. And even though at times that she feels like she's very nihilistic at times, like nothing matters. There's no purpose in life. And she flip-flops back and forth with that. But then ultimately she knows that, no, I'm here for a reason. I don't know what it is. I don't like it. But ultimately what's the most important thing is my attitude towards this. And if I don't do what I need to do, somebody's going to lose their life. Somebody's going to lose a loved one. Somebody's going to lose a daughter, a son, a mother, a father. And until I get this figured out, I'm doing what I'm doing now. And that's how I kind of like approach life, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got a little too deep there.
It did.
No, man, you're fine. Again, that's why we, you know, that's usually what we tell our guests, like, hey, man, you're in a safe place. Speak your truth. And we got you.
Yeah. And I appreciate that again. And I keep saying that, but I really do appreciate this. And like I said before, it's like one of my biggest things too, whenever I tell somebody about like when they're starting their own stories, that for me personally, I'd just be happy with one person reading this. And that's ultimately like why like I made this story in the first place. Not only to just entertain for fun and for laughs and for like epic, you know, shonen style fights, but to maybe hopefully I help inspire somebody to either create their own story or to just take on the next day one more time. Try again. You know, if you're at that dark place, you know, maybe one of these chapters of this funny little book will probably be like, you know what, I could do this. I could take one more day. I could see that sunrise one more time. You know?
All right. We got one last question for you.
Awesome. All right.
It's sort of a two-parter. Where can they find your story? And do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Yes. Okay. You can find the digital version of this story on Webtoons. You can also find it on Manga Creators Plus. I think it's a newer platform. I mean, I could send y'all the links to it, but you mostly will find it on Webtoons. But when you look up God's Lost Mercy, you know, look for the remake, you'll get taken to the original, and you know, I mean. Like, I have nothing against, you know, anyone. Actually, I implore people to read the original, too. But that way you can see, like where I'm coming from and kind of imagine where I'm going with this one. Mm-hmm. But if you want the physical copy, that is even super-duper awesome. You can, like, I'm currently working on a website to where you can just purchase this from me. But for now, you can contact our local shops here in town, the Great Ghost or the Zone, or you can contact me. I've been using Cash App to do my purchases, you know, my transactions. For the physical copies, though, you will be a few chapters behind, but I think it's still worth it, you know, too, because one, you're supporting me, you know, you're supporting. But this is all me, really. I have no one else helping me with this, you know. And and that's why it takes so long for the chapters to come out for those who've been a long time, you know, reader of GLM. Because it's because I have to balance out my personal life, my work life, and my comic creator life. So just a heads up. And for those who's wondering, like, how long will the physical copies be in between? I'm honestly debating either quarterly or twice a year to do physical copies. It's just so that way I can you know, keep the digital versions come out. And the reason why the digital versions are still a thing for now is that one, it kind of helps me see ahead of time. Like, what direction do I want to go? Like, go ahead, get that feedback from those who have been there already. And like, I still have people that read my digital still want my physical, because it's just physical. It's just so much better, really. Because you never know, one of these days that it may come a day where, you know, the website will probably crash and burn, and there'll be no more digital versions of GLM. So I really implore, like I said, you buy the physical version either through me or through the shops, or if I get lucky, you know, hoping to whoever's listening, you know, that I get a sweet deal with the publishing company, and that don't mind that I do take a little bit of time with my stuff, you know, but still help me out. But yeah, I do have a Patreon. Including my plugs. I have a Patreon. It's, you know, patreon.com/mercyfox. It's, like I said, this is all me doing. So if I don't immediately respond or do much on there, that's because I'm juggling like 1,000 other things I have a YouTube channel. It's Dog Boy Studios. It's Dog Boy with an I, not a Y. Let me just make sure. I've got to fact check myself.
And
Dog Boy Studio. I do a lot of gaming content there, but I also try to post some other stuff as well. I have a Twitter, Art Geiger, Facebook, hit me up. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Art Geiger, man, it was great having you here. And where you can find us on social media, of course, we're here on the Random Hour. We have the Random Hour. We have my sports podcast, More Sports, the sports podcast for everybody. Which, Art, man, you like our episodes that you're a Quidditch player, Kyle. We have fun over there. And we even got some more interesting content coming out early 2025 and throughout later this year. And, of course, we've got our movie podcast, Popcorn Buckets, where we review a movie every Sunday. You never know what you're going to get, so. And then we have our YouTube channel, Random Incorporated, where you see the video versions of our guest interviews and our other original content as well, gaming reacts and things like that. And hey, now I'm on Twitch at DEVIOM25, and you can follow our Twitter as RandallCorporate1 and our Instagram as RandoBoys. And let's see, am I forgetting something? Did the Twitch, did the Twitter, Instagram. That's about it. We're available on social platforms. And Geiger, do you have any last words?
Just a huge thank you to you guys and to Great Ghost, The Zone, and everyone who's been supporting me and for giving me this opportunity to share my stories. And again, I'm sorry for all my rambling and stuff.
No, you're fine. No, man, dude, we do it all the time.
Yeah, normally it's just us talking. They get variety today.
Yeah, dude, just... go listen to Popcorn Buckets. Kyle will be like, Pirates of the Caribbean, time for some fun facts. No.
Man, yeah, I definitely will. We'll tune in. Again, thank you guys so much.
No problem.
Yeah, man. Well, everybody, until next time.